Right, imagine this. You're lying on your back, staring at the ceiling of a hospital ward. The treatment you're receiving is painful, relentless, you're sick of the scenery, and you're not sure you'll get out anytime soon. Despair is starting to set in, and then you hear the voice of an angel. In fact, it could be the voice of our next guest. We heard on yesterday's show about the power of music to connect enemies in war-torn regions. Well, our Meet the Listener guest today, Heather Fran, is also using music in a healing way, but in a hospital. And Heather joins me now. She calls herself a sound therapist, and I want to know exactly what that is. Heather, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. As a sound therapist, what do you do? Is it the same as music therapy?
Yeah, it's similar. Sound therapy works with the energy in the body, so it's like a complementary therapy, a bit like Reiki in that sense, because you can lay singing bowls directly onto the body, which are these beautiful bowls that have a lovely sound, very relaxing sound. So that's one side of sound therapy, but the other side is, the way I approach it is, it's sound for relaxation. It's sound for calming the mind, coming into the present moment, and just resting the mind on the sound.
I love this image of using a Himalayan singing bowl to massage the body and soul. Describe that scene for us.
So someone might be laying on their back, and I will put a singing bowl, which is a metal bowl. They're from the Himalayas, and they're very ancient, very old bowls. And what you do is you can lay these bowls directly onto the hands or on the chest or the stomach. And when you play them with different mallets and sticks, they not only create a beautiful hum, like a tone or just a resonance of sound, but they also, particularly the larger bowls, have a physical vibration that comes out of them, not only out of the bottom that's sort of touching the skin, but also around the outside of the bowl.
Sounds lush. I'm free. I'm free after the 10 o'clock news if you want to meet up.
that's right. They are very lovely, yes. And it's certainly something that I love to do in the hospital. I also play guitar in the hospital and sing at people's bedsides.
So this is the key. You're working in a hospital setting. Where are you doing all this?
At Flinders Medical Centre in South Australia. They have an Arts in Health program, and it's one of the largest Arts in Health programs in the Southern Hemisphere. They have a whole lot of visual art on the wards, as well as a performance art and visual art, sort of practical art that goes out onto the wards as well. So they have a visual artist that goes out and does felting, wool felting, with the patients, and it's great for the patients because often when you're in hospital, you just lose that tactileness. You lose, you know, being able to touch and do things with your hands because everything's kind of done for you. So the felting is beautiful, and then I go out and do the sound for relaxation, which is, yeah, just I wander through the wards with a trolley, literally one of those food trolleys. And I put on my singing bowls on there, and I have my guitar on my back, and I wander through and, you know, meet people randomly. It's usually very random, and I love that because that's when some magic moments happen. So sometimes I might see a whole four-bedded bay with people, if it's right, you know, if there's not too many visitors in there, I don't ever want to be intrusive. And then sometimes I work one-on-one with people, and also the staff, when they're really stressed, they might come and say, hey, can you just put that singing bowl on my back for 5 minutes or something, you know, and I'll just do it there at the desk, you know, it's nothing nothing too exotic, but
so you're right, a bit like a desk. You're a bit like a wandering minstrel on the hospital wards.
Yeah, very much so.
What,
yeah.
What are some of those magic moments? Describe what they are, what they reveal.
Well, they reveal a part of people that often people are in their mind and they're really worried and sad or depressed or whatever about their illness or their ill-being in hospital, and so when I get to work with people, it can sometimes take them out of that moment and they recognise a different part of themselves that maybe gets clouded by the worrying mind. It's like a sense of peace. And so there's this beautiful connection that happens. It's kind of hard to explain this in words. It's almost like words get in the way. But there's a beautiful connection that happens between myself and that person or the people that where they just, it's just a knowing where they just know, oh, it's okay, actually, it's okay, and I'm here, and it's yeah, like I said, it's kind of hard to explain, but it is very lovely. I'd say it definitely borders on, you know, a sense of a spiritual experience. It's a spiritual realm.
Right there in a hospital ward. How did you get into music in the first place? Where does your musical story start?
Well, I was a little kid on a farm who had no music around me really whatsoever, apart from my mum. She used to play Elvis Presley on the records player, and, you know, I really loved that as a kid. And then when I got given a guitar, I just started playing it by ear and working out how to play this thing. I didn't know how to tune it up or anything. I think it had five strings instead of six.
So you twanged away.
I twanged away, and then as I got older, I got more serious about it, and people around me, when they heard me sing, said, wow, you've really got a talent there, you should pursue that. And so I did, and then from quite a young age, 14, 15, I started playing in pubs, playing solo gigs. And yes, it was illegal for me to be in there, but I still did it. I didn't drink alcohol. But yeah, I was there in the pubs and playing. And before I knew it, you know, I'm 18, 19, and I'm releasing CDs and playing gigs and then doing theatre as well. I do a lot of sound design for theatre and acting.
You're doing so much. I mean, you've got your musical fingers in so many pies, and one of them is of great interest to me. You're actually working with people with acquired brain injury.
Yes, just recently I finished a project with the Community Reentry Program, which is in Flinders University, actually, right next to the hospital. And that's a support group for people who have acquired brain injury, and they meet weekly. Mm. And myself and a colleague, Corey Stewart, another songwriter, we went to work with the group over a series of 4 weeks writing a song with the group. And it's a great song. It was an opportunity for them to write about their life and write about, okay, I've got an acquired brain injury. What makes me get up in the morning? What makes me want to live, you know? And the song ended up being called The Second Time Around, which I loved, because it was them talking about the second time around of life. Okay, I've got my life before acquired brain injury, and now I've got my life here.
Yes.
And
it's
what
beautiful.
They had to say in that song was absolutely wonderful, you know.
It's beautiful. Hey, Heather, thanks for joining us today. We're going to put more information about your work on our website, on the Life Matters website. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
That's Meet the Listener, and we'll put the link up on the website. And on Life Matters tomorrow, the New South Wales Minister responsible for Child Protection Services and the like, Prue Goward, will join me with some critical questions. And Harry Potter, good for history, Natasha Mitchell.